news you need. People you know. News Radio 830 WCCO. Always.
Good morning. 11 minutes after 11 o'clock. John Hines back in the studio here because I get to be, for about the next hour or so, sort of the ringmaster here. Folks have probably heard a while back that Steve Murphy is retiring after, at the end of this month, after 33 years. So somebody figured, as long as we're going to have a little holiday gathering down here today, why not get some of these legends of broadcasting together? And everybody can chip in and have some fun roasting or congratulating or taking a couple of shots at our beloved Steve Murphy.
What a treat is this.
Let me go around the room and introduce. We have Charlie Boone. Who was it? 3 years ago tomorrow, is that right?
3 years to go tomorrow, I retired.
All right.
Doesn't seem possible.
No, it doesn't.
It goes fast, Steve.
Yeah, I'm finding that out, Charlie.
Eric Escala.
Hi, John.
Part of so many mornings here and for all of us here on WCCO Radio.
Great to be with you.
Good. I'm glad that you came along. Telly Mamiya, God love you. Thank you for coming on down.
Well, thank you, John. I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
And Tim Russell came down to pay a tribute and a salute to Steve Murphy as well.
One of the great journalists of our time.
And Bruce Ogovic came all the way in from Ortonville.
All the way from Ortonville.
Yes. All the way from Miami.
By way of Golden Valley.
By way of Golden Valley.
You said legends are here. That means I've got to leave, I guess?
No, you are certainly one of them. Back in the corner, Denny Long, and as many years as anybody here with, more than probably with Steve Murphy.
Fortunately or unfortunately, more.
More.
But with Steve, it's been fortunate all the way. I came all the way from Eden Prairie when I heard there was free food.
So, Steve, what do you make of this now as we're here?
I don't know what to say. I'm speechless, and that never happens, my wife will tell you. But I don't know what to say. This is just amazing. I had invited two of my cohorts down here, Bruce Ogovic and Eric Escala, because they are retired already and have urged me to do so, and they've been egging me on. So I was going to have them come over and blame them for this, but I get to see my dear friends and Telly and Tim Russell and Charlie. Charlie and I are neighbors, but he's much more than a neighbor, I'll tell you. He's a very dear friend, and this is just great. Terrific, and Denny, too, on your day off, you wise guy.
For those of us in this room, I think this room right now symbolizes what has become the good neighbor over the year. I mean, you talk about you guys physically being neighbors, but there are so many neighbors in this room. Susie Jones, who worked for so long when we were working together here in the morning, and she's just going around the room saying hi to everybody now. But let's start. Eric. A couple of words for Steve Murphy, or about Steve Murphy. Surely you must have a Steve Murphy story or two.
We had a campaign back in 1980.
Yes.
The previous morning editor of the newsroom had left, and there was management was going to have to pick a new morning editor. And remember this, Bruce? We had a campaign.
For Steve, yeah.
We put up posters. Yes. We had songs, slogans, buttons, that we wanted Murphy to be the morning editor.
Well, nobody else wanted it. Well, you know what the hours were, and I came in, and there were all these signs up in the newsroom. Murphy for editor.
Yeah.
Murphy's our guy. Well, nobody else wanted it.
But I was going to leave that part out.
It was obvious that he would be the guy. I mean, it was obvious that Steve Murphy would be the guy to leave the newsroom in the morning. No question about it.
And his level of performance, John, I must tell you, over time, and I worked with him for 30 years, the consistent professionalism and good humor every day, no matter what he was up against personally, no matter what the news was, what the weather was, you took it for granted after a while because the performance level was so high and so consistent. It's just the epitome of professionalism.
And you know what else? I appreciated the gentleness with which he gave us our assignments.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd come in at 4 a.m. and he'd have some assignment that he knew would be a bit of a challenge out in the cold somewhere. And he wouldn't, usually he'd wait about 5 minutes, give me a chance to kind of settle in for 5 minutes and then spring it on me.
Yeah,
but always with the gentlest possible way. Yeah. I never heard an unkind word. Steve Murphy, in my 30-some years of working with this man, he never once said an unkind word to me.
Murphy?
It was what Sid would call selective memory.
Selective memory. Well, you know, for people who don't know, as editor in that newsroom, that was your job, too, in the morning. Besides coming in, writing those newscasts, getting those things ready to go, starting at 5 o'clock now, but you also had to figure out what stories were important to send the reporters to.
Well, I got to tell you, it was great fun. For a long time, we had co-anchors, and that was Telly Mamiak and Eric Escala. I got to write, and then I'd go back to my phone, and Bruce would be out on the field as a field reporter, and Susie as well. And it was great fun to do that. I didn't do any anchoring in those days, but they moved on. And so I ended up doing that, too. And, of course, that's a great joy, too. You get great feedback from your audience. But, you know, Bruce is talking about being a nice guy. Listen, when I took over as editor, Bruce had been here for like 6 years. You know, that's a very touchy situation. All of a sudden, I'm giving assignments to a guy who preceded me. And Eric came 6 months before I did, too. And so, you know, it's a very touchy thing. And just think about how gracious they were to all of a sudden be taking assignments from a guy who was, I wish I could say a lot younger, but a lot newer.
Charlie, Steve is from.
Yeah.
The Virginia Gentleman.
Absolutely.
My wife calls him.
A heart like a hotel, I used to say. He has room for everybody in there. But now, Charlie, he was talking about getting up early, the job that comes with the assignment,
yes,
with being the editor. You know, something that you are very, very familiar with. Will Steve Murphy ever get out of that thing now where he's getting up, you know, at the...
Oh, no, no.
He'll still be getting up that early?
No.
Can you sleep in now?
Yes.
With a clear conscience?
No problem. No problem. I slept in before.
Kelly Bamayak, he mentions that you and, of course, Eric were co-anchors, and Steve was writing for you. Tell me a little bit about his writing style. Did he have to adapt to you, or did you have to adapt to him as he was writing news?
Oh, boy. We were just like one humming machine, and we just worked together like such a great team. With Steve's leadership is second to none, and the calming force that he was in the news room, like Bruce and Eric were saying, steady Eddie and just really keeping us on an even keel, cannot be underestimated, the importance of that. And when you're out in the field trying to find the scene of a crime or where's the house explosion, I'm lost, he was just so calm back at the home base, getting you where he needed to be, and that's so important.
Susie Jones was talking about that same thing earlier. She was talking about, as a reporter, she'd have to go out and find the fire or whatever, and Steve Murphy would literally, Susie, be talking you through the streets of Minneapolis or New Hope or wherever you were going.
Or Ham Lake, and I would be yelling out, Lily Street. You know, Maple Street. One more, four more, four more. And usually, a lot of times I'd be pulling up to the live shot at 5:03, and I'd just be out of breath and going, well, there's fire trucks here, Steve. Can't really see the smoke. Anyway, there's so many great people here today, Steve, that it's like amazing to be in this room right now. So
it
Roger Erickson just arrived.
I'm going to
grace
crime.
Him.
Speaking
yeah,
of returning to the scene of the crime, Roger Erickson is
Doctor.
Joining us. Let's do this.
Dr. Gill.
As, all of, as yeah. Bruce and Tim and Telly and Eric and Charlie and Steve Murphy, all of us know so well, we have to take a break. But we'll come back and we'll talk some more. We've got these legends of broadcasting, the people who are, who symbolize the good neighbor at WCCO. We'll pick up right after this. It doesn't exactly sound right to have that as a rejoiner here. It should
Why
be
not?
Steve Murphy.
You know, it's,
on WCCO.
I feel like it's my funeral anyway,
no, you know,
John. So let's
deal.
Have some nice.
I want people to know, too, by the way, this is not your last day on the radio. You're going to be here till the 31st. So, yeah, I mean, you got a deal, so you got to stay, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. But this is an opportunity to have these legends. I mentioned Charlie Boone is here, Eric Escala, Telly Mamayak, Bruce Hogovic, Roger Erickson just came in, Denny Long has worked, and Mike Lynch, who's been a part of this forever, and Tim Russell coming to you next year. The Tim Russell people know is you recognize the voice immediately, or you recognize all the voices immediately.
In fact, I brought along some of my friends.
Did you really?
Mrs. Lou Holtz, you know, when I heard Steve Murphy's voice, I thought, that's the voice of Minnesota, a state I would have stayed in, but I had the calling. Of course, I never learned anything about pronunciation from Steve, but hey, it's great to be here.
With Tom Rokaw, when I was plying my trade in South Dakota, all I had to do to know about journalism was to look east to Minnesota and Steve Murphy. Congratulations, Steve. Now you'll be able to retire in Lithuania. Jimmy Stewart. What would have been like if Steve Murphy had never been born? Well, what do you want, Steve, for retirement? You want the moon? Oh, wait, Mike Lynch will give you that on his next Star Watch party. It's been a wonderful life.
It certainly has, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy.
Let me just add. Murph is just the greatest. What a gentleman. What a terrific partner to have as a co-worker. You know, it was just a joy coming in each morning, Murph. And you're going to enjoy retirement, and of course you'll be on to other things, I'm sure. But best of luck. We loved working with you.
How wonderful for you to say that. Whenever Tim walked down the hall, he would practice. So I never knew who was coming down the hall. It was amazing. Three or four different presidents, and Jimmy and George Burns. And all
don't forget
them.
Me.
That's right, Mr. Clinton. Thank you.
And Will, you know, I shouldn't be here, but we're warming up a space for you, Murph. So, but take your time.
Oh, man. I'm feeling that old, too. I want you to know. And you, Mr. President.
Tim Russell, that's great. I love that. And, you know, and everybody in this room has done like you have done, especially here late, gotten up at the crack of dawn. No, the dawn hadn't even thought about getting up yet. Yeah. But gotten up here, I mean, Telly, Eric, Charlie, Tim Russell, and Roger, and Bruce Hagovic, up early, morning after morning, as you mentioned, coming in, you know, early. But it does have to be kind of a comfort to come in and have Steve Murphy just, you know what you're getting the moment you walk in.
Absolutely. And Steve, what, you were getting up at 1:30 in the morning, right?
Most recently, yeah.
Most recently at 1:30 in the morning. That is early, believe me. And when I first got the text message from Steve here a few days ago that he had announced he's going to retire, a chill went through my body. And, you know, at first I was so surprised. But then I thought about it a while, and I thought, this is so deserved. He has put in so many years, what, 32, 33?
33.
33 years. And he's been a beacon, a steady beacon for this newsroom for so many decades. And if anybody deserves a great retirement, it's Steve Murphy. Now, there's one question, though, that I think he probably hasn't answered, and you kind of referred to it a couple of minutes ago, and that is that alarm clock. Now, what are you going to do with that alarm clock? There probably are a few options. One is, to me, the most obvious would be to smash it.
Mm-hmm. The Smithsonian could possible. Be good.
Or a broadcast museum somewhere.
Sure, sure, the Pavic would love to have
or
it.
Or maybe just mount it on your mantle at home, or maybe you have some other ideas, too, because that alarm clock has been a big part of your life the last few decades.
What do you mean, alarm clock? Singular. I've had three. I'm not kidding. I've
you worn them out?
Well, no. But
you set three?
I set three every night.
I always set
just
two.
Just in case. I worry, yeah.
Yeah, I always set two. One battery-powered, one electric. Sure.
Don't you, John? I think nowadays.
I don't set an alarm.
You're kidding.
Like for this morning, I got up at 3:05, and that was, I don't set an alarm. I mean, I set it just in case, but I don't need it. It doesn't ever go off.
Well, I need them, although most of the time my body clock does wake me up, but I'm too scared when I go to bed at night that I'm going to sleep in.
People should remember Steve Murphy won the Peabody Award, which is the Pulitzer Prize for broadcast journalism. Mm-hmm. So this isn't some kid that came into town on a load of taconite. This is a world-class... That'd be Mick.
Yeah, Mick.
That's a world-class journalist where we're saying goodbye to.
Before I come to Roger, Denny Long back here. Denny worked with Steve as long as anybody has.
Well, you know, one thing that we know here in this, what we call the second floor, but Steve was much more a resource than just for you guys in the newsroom. Producers, right? You guys know, ladies. You go to Steve. What's the number for that senator? Steve, what do you think about this? Or I got a call. Always had numbers on the top of his head besides that old Rolodex.
Well, it's very quirky of me. I got to say this because Susie was referring earlier and Telly as well. They're out in the streets and they were trying to get somewhere. My kids call me 411. That's the nickname, really. I don't know what it is. I like maps. You know, and I don't need Google Maps. It's in my head.
That's good to have that.
Very strange.
Yeah, you talk about alarm clocks, if I may, and then I'm going to let Susie talk here. Steve, as Steve knows, and for years, I would get from the Port Authority, the Duluth, the year-long calendar I'd hang up on the door, right? Well, just for your retirement, I got a hold of the Port Authority, and I have an extra copy for next year, so you can count
love it.
How many days you can sleep in.
I thank you for that. I thank you. And listen, speaking of Duluth Superior and that beautiful lake, I've got to say hi to August, who came in from your fishing trip.
Yeah, I did. We always go out on the water, you know, for fishing, and that's really wonderful, you know.
And you're ice fishing now.
Yeah.
And they haven't pulled you in yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but there was I always went to you and got instructions before we got fishing opener.
Thank you for crediting me with that. Yeah. But you get that hypnosis, don't you, when you stare at the hole for a long time?
Yeah, you do that. Yeah, yeah.
I think you have it now, August.
We call it the Arctic stare, I think, is what that is. Hey, Roger Erickson, we're going to hear some more from you and Susie Jones and so many others in this room. We're going to take a break because there also is some breaking news, some serious news, so we're going to come to that here at the bottom of the hour, as well as traffic and weather, and then more with these legends of broadcasting. These people embody the good neighbors on WCCO. They really do.